This is Jay Sekulo. What's next for the United Nations with the resignation of Ambassador Haley?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
She's done a fantastic job, and we've done a fantastic job together. We've solved a lot of problems, and we're in the process of solving a lot of problems. At the beginning, North Korea was a massive problem, and now we're moving along. It's moving along really nicely.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It's been 8 years of intense time, and I'm a believer in term limits. I think you have to be selfless enough to know when you step aside and allow someone else to do the job. So thank you, Mr. President.
You.
It's been an honor of a lifetime.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Before we get started with the discussions about the United Nations and what's ahead, let us first say that we are watching and praying for our friends in the panhandle of Florida, especially in the Panama City, Destin, Apalachicola area, where a Category 4 with storms are hitting. This is an area we know really well. Jordan and Logan spent a lot of time there when they were kids. We had condo down there for a long time and had it for a long time, but probably had it there for 20 years. And Pam and I were just back there a couple weeks ago, and we love the area and we love the people in the area, but they are about to get hit with a monstrous storm.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, if you're anybody who's still within that area, I don't know if you're even able to listen to radio broadcasts, but maybe online or through Sirius XM. You know, this is very serious overnight, and unlike some of the places in South Florida that are used to dealing with bigger hurricanes, this is a very large one with high, usually we play down wind speeds, but 175 mile per hour wind speeds into places like this, which are not necessarily built for that.
Yeah.
Wind speed is important. And of course, storm surge is extremely
dangerous. Well, you lived in South Florida, and then they were prepared for hurricane with a Category 5.
After Hurricane Andrew, everything that was built had to be ready for a Category 5. That doesn't mean there's not serious destruction. There was.
But, you know, when you look at the beach area down in Panama City, in the Panhandle area, you've got some construction that's in the last 20 years, but a lot of those condominium projects and houses have been there for, my goodness, 40 years. So, I mean, the devastation potential here is great. So, anyways, our thoughts and prayers there. We're taking your phone calls on 1-800-684-3110. Looks like it's going to, by the way, the storm looks like it's going to right up the East Coast.
Yeah.
May hit our office in Virginia Beach on its way out to sea. So, everybody's keeping a very, very close eye on this as it probably makes landfall in about an hour. All right, let me do this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Nikki Haley, the ambassador to the United Nations, announced yesterday in a surprise move that she was going to step aside at the end of the year. She's had quite a term at the UN. I had the chance to be in an event last year with her. I'm going to play that some of the sound. I thank Nikki Haley for her stand with Israel, and that was over a year ago. And, of course, it's done nothing but increased ever since.
Just a few days ago, I had the awesome experience of spending some time with the President of the United States. Let me tell you what we don't have to worry about. Because of Ambassador Haley, because of the position of the United States, and because of the President, we're not going to have to worry about where the United States stands in defense of the Jewish state of Israel.
All right, so I want to focus on that because it's without a doubt Nikki Haley has been a major factor in the president's administration, specifically as it relates to the issue of Israel, but other things as well. So we're going to talk about all this. Your reaction to this? It's a big move, but she served for 2 years, and it's a financial. Look, they pay a financial cost when you're in government service.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you it's not that you're making nothing compared to the average wage, but you,
Two residences,
family all around, not a lot of, you know, New York, you have family in South Carolina, children. And because that, there's a cost to service. And I think she's at a time where she realizes, as she said, going into the private sector is not a down step. And it's, again, a time for her for in the last 8 years to go and, again, kind of rebuild. Financially,
she will be a future
political
figure.
I think what she's doing is rebuilding personally, financially, so that she can go back into public service, and I think that's admirable.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Here's my question to our audience. Your thoughts on the UN and the future of the U.S. role in the United Nations. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. I'm asking this question, is Nikki Haley's going to be leaving at the end of the year? A surprise to the American people, not a surprise to the president. But it's important to understand the role that Nikki Haley has played advancing U.S. interests and supporting her allies, especially Israel, where she's done a tremendous job. And she's been tough on North Korea, too. I mean, she was very tough following the administration's guidance. And I think she was a very effective advocate for getting the position of the administration to the world. I think that's if you say what is one of the hallmarks of Nikki Haley's tenure as U.N. ambassador, I think that clearly would be
my number one hallmark is when she announced that the U.S. would no longer be giving out aid to countries who voted against U.S. interest at the U.N., that we would no longer be supporting countries who were taking positions to the U.S., and that all related to the recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital by the U.S. and the move of our embassy. And she said that times have changed, that the U.S. is no longer going to be your piggy bank where you can come to the U.N., denounce the U.S., vote against our interests, and then assume that we're going to give you millions upon millions of dollars. So I think that change, American leadership, it's a total shift from how the State Department and from how diplomacy in the U.S. has existed for decades. We used to have the idea of kind of placate everybody with cash. Now the new strategy is we take that cash from you and you can come begging to us when you change your policies.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
That is number one.
I think that's
that relates to all of those issues.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want to know your thoughts on what do you think the main issue that we should be focusing on at the UN and the United States? And I start with Israel, but I want to get other people's, and North Korea certainly in there as well. Iran, another one. I mean, you're talking about hotspots. The UN ambassadorship, then you are our UN representative for the ECLJ. It's a big role. I mean, and look, 2 years is a long time of service in that role. She's worked very, very hard. We had a chance to work with her closely last year, and I've seen her on and off during the last year and a half. And when I've seen her, you could tell she is working hard, and I think she did just a fantastic job.
Yeah, it's a huge role, Jay, because of how many leverage points exist inside that chamber. I mean, Jordan talked about the financial aid one. I totally agree with that. I also think in terms of the foreign policy team, everything comes back to that signature move of moving the embassy. But think about the other leverage points, Jay. I mean, no longer has the United States deferred to other caucuses inside the UN. I mean, the Organization for the Islamic Cooperation, do you think they're driving the agenda now? No, the United States is. No longer have they declined to use their leverage through things like vetoes in the Security Council, which the last administration declined to do. No longer had they been afraid to withdraw from ineffective UN bodies. Think about UNRWA. And then again, back to the financial support, both dollars to the United Nations and to countries who don't align with the United States. So, Jay, all of those leverage points that essentially the last administration had laid down, President Trump and Ambassador Haley picked them back up and used them over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's it. No, you're exactly correct. And I think very effectively. All right, as I said, we're taking your calls and comments, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Jerry in Rhode Island on line three. Jerry, welcome to the United States.
Hey.
I was reading something about this hurricane. Team. Welcome to the air.
Hey, Jerry.
I think you partially answered the question. Like I had mentioned the producer, when you put an ambassador in, I'm assuming they're given the agenda by the appointing president.
Right.
This is what I like to see. So, but part of it is reactionary
sure.
to the rest of the world. So when you ask us, what do we think, whatever worked just now with Haley, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Keep going that way. But I take it comes from the leader and the president.
Well, sure. So here's what happens. The United Nations sometimes is a cabinet level, but not always. Under this administration, it has been a cabinet level. I think under Barack Obama's, it was not. So it depends. She was a cabinet member, so that meant she had to go through the confirmation process. Ambassadors do anyways, but she had to go through a confirmation process. But the agenda is set by the administration. She works closely with the president and the secretary of state. Where she was extremely effective is her advocacy at the United Nations itself, both publicly and behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so she, again, I think that she showed this idea of strength. She changed the way the U.S. foreign policy was going to move forward. From the past administration to the Trump administration, and she put it into action. So she called the UN out for what it was. She called the Russians out for what they were doing, the Chinese for what they were doing, the Iranians stood with Israel. And when the administration decided to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and move our embassy to Jerusalem, remember there was a vote at the UN of all these countries condemning that. After that, even before, she said, you better watch. We're watching how you vote. After that, she announced the new U.S. plan, which is that you would no longer receive aid if you regularly voted against U.S. interest at the United Nations.
So
you were a country that came to the U.N. and bashed the U.S. and then voted against our interest, but you received all this humanitarian aid,
right.
No more humanitarian aid for you if you continue to vote that way and act that way.
What would you say, Than, from your experience in dealing with the State Department on this? I mean, I said she's a very effective advocate, both publicly and behind the scenes. What's your sense?
I think the most effective we've seen in recent times, Jay, and look, it comes back to the ambition level of the agenda. If the agenda is not very ambitious, the position is not that important. But this agenda was incredibly ambitious, all the way from the embassy move to the financial aid to withdrawing from bodies. And back to the last caller's point, I think it really answers this question, Jay. The president determines the agenda, but then the ambassador has to implement. And I'll just give you one example. Withdrawing from the Human Rights Council, that is a decision that is made at the presidential level, but then Ambassador Haley had to actually go down to the Human Rights Council and implement it. And I'll tell you, the fallout was tremendous around the world, and I would say in an extremely important and positive way, because that council has ceased to further a human rights agenda for a long time now. But the president decides, Ambassador Haley has to actually go into the well, into the chamber, and implement that agenda.
Let me play for you what Nikki Haley said. This is from her announcement yesterday.
Look at what has happened in 2 years with the United States on foreign policy. Now, the United States is respected. Countries may not like what we do, but they respect what we do. They know that if we say we're going to do something, we follow it through, and the president proved that, whether it was with the chemical weapons in Syria, whether it's with NATO, saying that other countries have to pay their share. I mean, whether it's the trade deals, which have been amazing, they get that the president means business, and they follow through with that.
So I think the legacy that Nikki Haley creates is a very positive one, but look, it's an important role. I know there's a lot of people complain about the UN, and believe me, we are critical because their policies on Israel and others have been ridiculous, and they're fake red lines, and you can go on and on. The fact of the matter is, though, we need effective advocates there, and we've had that with Nikki Haley. So again, we want to know kind of your view on what you think the top aspects, top issues should be that we're addressing at the UN. I view it as this way. It's the Middle East, and this isn't in any particular order. I think these are the big issue points. It's the Middle East, so it's the Israel-Palestinian conflict, the greater Middle East. That would include Iran, because you have to look at the Iranian situation. That's part of that. Then you've got the whole Russia issues with the Ukraine. Then you go over to China. You've got the issues with China. And then particularly then into the Korean Peninsula. As you look at that agenda, you understand that that UN ambassador has got a broad swath of what they're dealing with.
Yeah, when you deal
you
with...
you got to be an expert in a lot of
areas. You deal with Russia and you deal with Iran, you're also dealing with Syria and that conflict there. And then, of course, the broader issue, which is reforming a corrupt United Nations. So we looked at the defunding of UNRWA and those other kind of UN programs that have been so poorly run. And again, so this out-of-control UN, I think all of that is very important. But I'd love to hear from everybody out there. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
And Than, you said that you thought that... the fact that, the situation with North Korea and the sanctions there and Nikki Haley's aggressiveness on behalf of the president and on behalf of the United States served us very well.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier in the broadcast, Jay, but I think it belongs in that list that you and Jordan just rattled through because North Korea has no doubt moved in a positive direction. Now, we're not all the way where we need to be, but the reason that that dialogue is happening and the reason that progress has been made is because the United States led the international community in putting sanctions in place on North Korea to actually bring them back to the table. Ambassador Haley was the main spokesman in the United Nations chamber for those sanctions. So I think, you know, going forward, certainly the Middle East is always the epicenter. I mean, the OIC always has hostility towards Israel front and center on their agenda. But I think right in the next tier is that North Korea front.
I think that's right. And so what's going to happen is the president's going to make an announcement in the days ahead of who his nominee will be. That, and we'll talk about that process. There'll be a confirmation process there. There's a lot of talk on who it might be, but I think the president's narrowed down his list. But very good candidates for that position. It's a very important role. I mean, usually significant role with so many of the issues that we deal with but that are international offices. That's sometimes overlooked at the American Center for Law and Justice. Of course, as you know, we have an office in Strasbourg, France that deals with the European Union. We have offices in Jerusalem that deals with the Middle East. We have offices in Moscow that deals with Russia. We have offices in other locations not disclosed. That engage on so many of these issues. So, again, a lot to talk about. All right, we want to get your reaction to what you think the important issues are at the United Nations. Again, our thoughts and prayers with our friends in the panhandle of Florida. You got a big one coming in there with Michael. Winds of 145 miles an hour. Gusts at 175 miles an hour. Winds right now are only 50 miles an hour in Panama City, but the storm's still offshore. Does not look like it's going to lessen in its scope. I know people are listening in the panhandle. Let us know if you are and let us know you're okay. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Or if you're on Facebook and Periscope, give us some. You can call us, of course, but also you can put your comments in. We'll take those during the break. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Let's pray for the folks in the panhandle. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. 1-800-684-3110. Our thoughts and prayers for safety for our friends in the Panama City Beach area, but also the whole panhandle of Florida. You've got a Category 4 hurricane coming down on you right now, and that's an area we have a lot of affinity for that area. We heard from some folks on Facebook already that are in Pensacola, but let us know how you're doing. But shelter in place. Listen to your emergency services there, and don't try to do something brave, which people say brave. I'm seeing people on the streets in winds. They're now saying that Hurricane Michael's, while we're alive, now somebody may be hearing us taped delayed. Right now, the winds in the hurricane are not gusting to 150 miles an hour. They are 150 miles an hour. Now, the panhandle of Florida is not used to Category 5. You lived in South Florida, and you also spent a lot of time in Panama City. But there's a difference between being prepped for a Category 2 or 3 hurricane and a Category 5. Wind differential is very significant.
Oh, absolutely. And especially the structures in place. And
they're older in Panama City, a lot of them.
And the windows that are in place and the preparation that was done. I mean, this was not at a Category 5. It quickly became into a Category 5. So to make landfall at, you know, Category 4 is extremely was a bit of a shock in this situation. And into a part of the country, which, again, it's not built the same way as South Florida has since Hurricane Andrew. And so there are a lot of – the newer buildings should be doing a lot better, but most of those laws were proactive laws that for new building and new structures. So windows, glass, we just saw images of Apalachicola, which was just – the water was already up to past the buildings, to the roofs of buildings.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Which is a low-lying area, but still.
But they're talking about it being a hurricane force even in South Georgia.
Yeah, into places that are not on the water.
Yeah, I mean, we know South Georgia, too. So, anyways, our thoughts and prayers there. We're going to take phone calls at 800-684-3110. We're talking about Nikki Haley. Let me play for you what she said at the UN about the move to Jerusalem, the embassy move.
America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do. And it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that. But this vote will make a difference on how Americans look at the UN and on how we look at countries who disrespect us in the UN. And this vote will be remembered.
So this was a big move. Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, is joined us in the studio here in our media center. You know, one of the things I said was she was a very effective, of course, effective behind the scenes, but a very effective advocate. Orally.
Absolutely. So she was a very effective advocate for ensuring that foreign nations and UN agencies respect the United States. Thanks to the work of Nikki Haley, along with the work of Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, the Trump administration has taken a giant step in putting American interests first. No longer will the United States provide funds to corrupt regimes that support terror and pay to slay. No longer will the U.S. engage in a craven pattern of rewarding the number one state sponsor of terror, Iran. No longer will the United States fund UNRWA, a hugely corrupt agency that focuses on one thing and one thing only, presenting a largely fictional grievance program against Israel. The United States has completely defunded UNRWA in the amount of around $350 billion. No longer will the U.S. fund the U.N. Human Rights Council,
which has been a complete anti-Israel.
Absolutely.
I mean, unbelievably
so. The only permanent agenda item is presenting grievances against Israel. It's basically a program aimed at delegitimizing Israel. Yep. So the United States is putting American interests first.
All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take some calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, Kelly calling in from Montana on line one. Kelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question. Well, I'll comment first, then a question. My comment is, my daughter and I have watched Nikki Haley on the news, and she has seen what a strong woman that she is, and is a pretty good role model for her, considering she wants to be a hostage negotiator for the FBI. My question is, who do you think be a good person to take her place?
Well, I mean, I have an idea of names. I'm not gonna give them out. But I think you want somebody that's got that same kind of grasp of the issues. I mean, Nikki Haley was, political experience was governor of South Carolina. It's an important state. Every state's important, but it plays a key role. But she was a quick study on the international affairs, and she was an effective advocate. So I think that's that's the kind of thing you're looking for in a UN ambassador. And as Harry and I were just talking about, you got to be a very effective advocate. The world sees, look, there's a lot of behind the scenes. Yeah. We only see a glimpse of it at the General Assembly, but the world sees that too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations speaks on the behalf of the United States, it's broadcast around the world. So the tone is very important. The words used because of how they get translated. But the ability, you have to be a great orator. You really do. I mean, you have to be, and that's why coming out of someone who's a governor, someone who can talk tough when necessary, stand up to bullies at the UN, but also reconcile and be diplomatic at the same time. And I think that's something that Nikki Haley had a unique ability, and why she has been so popular in that role of standing tough without it seeming gratuitously tough.
Yeah.
At the United Nations.
She had good relations.
Yeah.
I mean, we're hopeful to hear, and we may be able to hear from Ambassador Danny Danone, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, during the second half hour of the broadcast, so we'll keep you posted on that. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to ask a quick question to Than. I got to throw something to Harry. Than, people are asking already on Facebook, what's the confirmation? Because they've just been through the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation process. What's this confirmation going to look like?
Well, it obviously depends on who it is, Jay, but look, I think you need to expect it to be contentious. I think you're going to have to appoint somebody that is qualified, ready for the job, so that they can get through. Look, I think this is one of the reasons, Jay, that you're not going to see somebody who is already in a spot that required confirmation, because then all of a sudden you have two people that you've got to get through the confirmation process. Yeah. I think this is probably going to be somebody that's not in a confirmed spot already. And Jay, I'll predict that there's two qualities that Nikki Haley had that the next candidate will have. It's got to be somebody that's tough as nails, because they've got to go into this venue and be prepared for people to walk out when they're advancing an agenda. But then they're going to have that diplomatic characteristic that Jordan's talking about. Nikki Haley leaves very well liked inside the United Nations, Jay, and that's tough to do when you're advancing an agenda as aggressive as she has.
She's been very effective. Ellen on Facebook said, Nikki Haley's resolve and strength changed the position of the UN ambassador. We need someone like that to fill that role. I think Ellen's exactly right, Harry.
I think that's precisely correct. So we need someone like Nikki Haley, someone who is a clear, coherent advocate of tough American policies, someone who demands respect on the world stage, and someone that advances our interest.
How hard do you think the confirmation fight for this one could be?
Depends on the person, but very hard. It could be very hard, difficult, and this will be after the midterm.
Yeah, so I think
that determines just what happens.
It's another impact on the midterm
election. Republicans could keep control of the U.S. Senate, though. Maybe a tough confirmation, but not as tough as the Supreme Court one we just went through.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's because we're here for another 30 minutes. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're audio and video streaming it there. Same on Facebook and Periscope and our social media platforms. It's another way for you to hear the broadcast. We encourage you to do that as well at ACLJ.org or Facebook and Periscope. And again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It's been 8 years of intense time, and I'm a believer in term limits. I think you have to be selfless enough to know when you step aside and allow someone else to do the job. So thank you, Mr. President. You. It's been an honor of a lifetime.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So Nikki Haley announces that she will be resigning at the end of the year as her position as U.N. Ambassador. She served for 2 years, and that's a significant amount of service. It's a big sacrifice for these government officials when they go into government service like this financially. It's an expensive undertaking, as you can imagine. But she's been a very effective, one of our most effective advocates in U.S. history. I think Nikki Haley will go down as one of the most effective U.N. ambassadors in U.S. history. I have no hesitation in saying that.
Yeah, I mean, think about what we have done. I mean, the U.S. has accomplished under Ambassador Haley. We recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, finally, and we take it to the world and say, you know what, you can condemn us all you want. You better watch your aid money. We've changed the U.S. foreign policy approach to diplomacy, where we used to just throw money out, even at countries that would oppose us at the U.N., oppose our foreign policy, and throw money out to try and appease them, and that has been changed. So the tone, it's not just a tone change from the Obama administration. It is a completely new approach to diplomacy at the United Nations than has been done by any previous administration in modern history.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think that's absolutely correct. I think it's important to recognize that during Nikki Haley's tenure, the United States has withdrawn from the Iran nuclear deal. We have responded with tough rhetoric to North Korea, and that has drawn a response.
Yeah.
And we have continued to impose sanctions on many regimes, including Russia, Iran, and North Korea. And I think that has drawn a real response throughout the world. The level of respect for the United States has risen immeasurably.
We are getting a lot of calls or a lot of notes posted on Facebook and Periscope, fan, about what's going to happen. Let's walk people through what the process looks like. This is another one. I mean, we just came out of a confirmation for Supreme Court Justice. Ambassadors are also confirmed, and this is the president nominates. That's his authority. Senate, advice and consent.
Well, and we already heard from the president on this, Jay, that he expects to give us a name in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He said maybe sooner. He said he's down to a handful of names already. But once he decides, yes, it will be sent to the Senate. There will be confirmation hearings. It will go to the floor. I think Jordan is correct that it's not going to follow the protracted timeline of the Supreme Court nomination. But, Jay, I do expect, just because of the nature of the Senate right now, I expect that the vote margin will be slim. I think that whoever is nominated will probably get all of the Republican support and probably a handful of Democrats. So it probably won't be as razor close as the Supreme Court. But, look, I think you saw the playbook from the minority in the United States Senate right now. Up until the elections and maybe even following, Jay, they plan to oppose anyone significant who's nominated, regardless of who they are.
I mean, Jordan and I were just talking. I mean, I think that, look, it could be a bruising process, and it's going to depend on who it is. Now, this president is going to he picks people that are going to carry the agenda of the administration forward.
Of course.
So you're almost starting with 48 objections before you start.
Yes, I think the vote's going to be close. I think we just went through a really horrendous process for the Supreme Court, and so comparing it to that is probably not fair. As long as the person is qualified, they will be confirmed. Unless there's issues you don't know about. It appears that the Senate will remain in Republican hands. That'll be the key, because that's when this will happen, is after the midterm elections and after those people are in place. So it's because she's staying until the end of the year. So that means it will be the next Congress that will be confirming this ambassador to the U.N.
I think it's, look, I expect we'll have a fight, but it'll be a fight worth having because it's a very, very important role. All right, we're going to take more calls when we come back from the break. So if you're online, hang on. We're going to get to you right after the break. If you want to talk to us, want to know what you think about the U.N., what the important issues are, what do you think about Nikki Haley's tenure? 1-800-684-3110. Praying for our friends in the panhandle of Florida. That's a monster of a storm coming on in about an hour and a half. Again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. But boy, we are praying for you in winds of 150 miles an hour going into Panama City. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Jordan, you said earlier that one of the things you appreciate about Nikki Haley was the fact that she said the money flow is going to stop. I'm going to play that bite in a moment, but set it up.
Yeah, the past foreign policy of the U.S. ignored how countries voted at the UN. So they could make their speeches opposing U.S. policy. They could then vote against the United States, condemn the United States, vote against U.S. policy, and still expect to receive our foreign aid. So these are the countries, some of the poorest countries in the world, some of the weakest in the world in the sense of where their economies, and yet they would still feel like they could take these strong stance against the U.S., vote against our interests, condemn us, and yet still get millions of dollars from us each year. And to that, she said, no more. Take a listen.
We are no longer going to give money to people who are against the U.S. or say death to America or do anything that would be anti-U.S. Well, we are now going to strategically start to work with our friends, and we are no longer going to be handouts for those that go against us.
I mean, that is it right there. To me, that is number one. Thana, I'll go to you in Washington, D.C. I think that idea of no more handouts is just so important to our foreign policy. And I know that it's part of the Trump administration policy, and I want that next ambassador to the U.N. To carry that mantle on.
Yeah, and it's a night and day change from the last administration, Jordan. I mean, so many callers to our broadcast over the last years have been just shocked that this is how the United States has doled out money. But it has been until this administration. I mean, look, part of the reason that you give foreign aid is to create allies around the world. And when foreign countries don't act as allies, then they shouldn't get U.S. aid. And that change has taken place under President Trump and Ambassador Haley. And Jordan, when I listened to the soundbite that you played of Nikki Haley, I thought she said it all in that quote after the Jerusalem embassy vote. She said, we're not going to be bullied. We're going to make this decision based on two things, our sovereignty and Israel's sovereignty. You can say whatever you want, and it's not going to change our vote. But however, your vote will change how we interact to you. If you do not stand with us, if you do not stand with our allies, you will not get our money. Fundamental change, Jordan, and I agree with you. Couldn't be more important.
All right, folks, we are going to go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Sarah in Maryland, online 3. Sarah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you. It's just I have a concern so much that Nikki Haley, she's like a David and Goliath, and she's been so strong, and she's brought America back, and she respects the president. And that's all going to be missed. I just wish there was a way that she could stay. but she's done so much. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I mean, she has done an unbelievable amount. I think that, you know, she's has her reasons for going, but she has set the bar, I think, at a perfect point. I mean, she set the bar high, but ready for someone to grab onto that mantle and run with it, continue to run with it. But she did, I think, in a sense, she fundamentally changed the U.S. position at the U.N. through her role as ambassador. Of course, that comes through the Trump administration instruction, but she did it successfully at a very difficult time in our foreign policy. I mean, Harry, we are living in a time where there are the issue in Syria she's dealing with whether it's trying to come to some agreements with North Korea, with the Chinese, and the currency issues, the trade issues, all of that comes into play at the UN.
Jordan, you're absolutely correct. Nikki Haley's performance will indeed be a tough act to follow. Under Nikki Haley and President Trump's leadership, decisions made by foreign governments and international agencies to oppose American interests have been met with consequences. That's important. In other words, U.S. policy demands respect on the world stage. Under the prior administration, U.S. policy demanded disrespect on the world stage. Often we offered a program of an open door. All the foreign governments had to do was to push against an open door. We would continue to fund them. They would continue to oppose American interests. That approach has ended, and I think that's fortunate for American policy going forward.
If you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call. That's 1-800-684-3110. What issue is most important to you for the next U.N. ambassador? What issue do you think they'll be facing for the next U.N. ambassador who represents the U.S. It is such an important position? Listen to Nikki Haley again. I think this goes into what I've been saying about the way that the U.S. should be treated. We talked about how the U.S. should be treated by countries, but she was critical of the U.N. itself and how it treated the U.S. as one of its main key funders of the United Nations. Take a listen.
When we make generous contributions to the U.N., we also have a legitimate expectation that our goodwill is recognized and respected. When a nation is singled out for attack in this organization, that nation is disrespected. What's more, that nation is asked to pay for the privilege of being disrespected. In the case of the United States, we are asked to pay more than anyone else for that dubious privilege.
I mean, that right there, again, is so important that it is not going to be, the U.S. that just accepts U.N. condemnation either. So he talked about how she took a stand against these countries that would vote against our interests, but then she took it a step further and brought it against the entire U.N. infrastructure.
Well, I think the rest of the world and the United Nations, Jordan, has just taken it for granted that the United States would always be the piggy bank for their accounts, their programs, their foreign aid. And you look at just a couple of examples, the Human Rights Council and then UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Works Agency. Jordan, neither one of them were advancing either the agenda of the United States or, quite frankly, the stated agenda of those two programs. And so what President Trump and Ambassador Haley have said is, look, you can vote how you want, but there will be ramifications. You don't have an inherent right to U.S. taxpayer dollars, so you can make a choice. You can either work with us, you can either advance our shared interests, and then we will stand with you, or you can walk the other way. But if you walk the other way, Jordan, including with these programs, don't expect us to be the piggy bank for those programs. It's about time. I would say it's decades overdue, Jordan.
You know, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Dan Danone, is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. Take a listen to what he said about how Nikki Haley changed the U.S. position at the U.N.
First, when you look at the U.S. today, 2 years after, the standing of the U.S. is in a different place. People respect the U.S. today in the U.N. because Ambassador Haley was not afraid to stand firmly, even when it meant that she was in the minority. Even when we lost the votes, she was not afraid. And I think today you got that respect for many countries in the Security Council, in the General Assembly. But, and that's important, because if you want to be relevant, you need people to respect you at the UN, in the international community. And today there is more respect to the President of the United States, to the administration, and it makes America stronger today.
And Ambassador Danone will be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. He is the Israeli ambassador to the UN, so he knows Nikki Haley very well. And the and you just heard the praise he had for her and the change there. Let's go to Jim's call in Washington State on line four. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for everything you're doing. I'm praying for the Gulf states, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. You know, one thing, first thing, and then one other thing, I will absolutely, completely miss the graceful demeanor and presence of Nikki Haley dealing with extremely difficult issues in the UN. And one of those, you've talked about the hard, the difficulty of being a UN ambassador. In your opinion, what, if any, trouble a person like John Kerry in his statements or his activities meeting with Iranians or any other, what kind of weight does that put on Nikki Haley or ambassadors?
Well, I think that Nikki Haley came in and had to make it very clear, and she did, that this was not business as usual with the United States anymore. That was her job. And I think that's why she can leave on that high note at the end of the year. Her job was to reverse the years of the John Kerry types, who, by the way, had been following decades of U.S. foreign policy practice of trying to appease everyone and not be critical about their votes and not actually care about them condemning us and keep giving millions of dollars. Her job was to reverse that and make it clear to the world that we were telling the truth when we said this. It wasn't just words. It was backed up by actions. So similar to President Trump, who doesn't just talk about tariffs but implements them. And sanctions and things like that. Same goes for the UN funding. So it was her job to fundamentally transform the U.S. position at the UN and how both the body, the UN, saw the U.S. and the individual countries themselves.
All right, we're taking your calls. Going to the last segment of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. We hope to be joined by Ambassador Danny Danone, the U.S. ambassador, U.S. Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. So we hope to be joined by with him shortly. All right. We are going to take more calls. Our thoughts and prayers. We're watching that storm. Big one in the panhandle of Florida. Category 4, winds at up to 170 miles an hour. Gusts sustained at 150. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And again, pray for those folks down there, especially the emergency responders. There's a lot to go with. A lot of potential damage down there. That is could be very significant. I mean, I can't imagine it won't be, just looking at the size of this storm. We pray for the best, though. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into the last segment of the broadcast. We'll take your calls. Also, you can get it in on Facebook and Periscope. We'll be back with more in just a few moments.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 800-684-3110. We're being joined on the phone by a very good friend of ours, Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danone. And we're talking about bragging about Nikki Haley's role at the UN. I'll brag about Danny Danone's role as well. What a fantastic job he's done, and you continue to do, ambassador for the state of Israel and for all freedom-loving people. But again, I want to get your reaction to Nikki Haley's announcement that she's going to be leaving at the end of the year. I know she's been a very good friend of yours and a very good friend of Israel.
Absolutely. Ambassador Haley stood for the truth, stood for justice. She was not afraid. And she was not afraid to be by herself in the room, something which I have the experience. And I think we will all regret that she is leaving us, but we will still continue to have the support of President Trump, of the new ambassador, and will continue to be on the offense. What we did with Ambassador Haley, it wasn't only about protecting Israel in the Security Council by vetoing all those ridiculous resolutions. It's about passing resolutions, for example, condemning Hamas in the General Assembly, the pulling out from the Human Rights Council. All of those great things, we will continue to do it with the new ambassador who will step in.
You mentioned something, Ambassador, I think is important for people to understand. It says, you know what it's like being the only person in the room, and so does she. Explain that a little bit for our audience. Did we lose the ambassador? I think we have. All right. So one of the things he did say was this idea of the lone in a room. And
yeah,
that's because you had world condemnation against you there.
And the U.S. really unwilling to take a stand to speak clearly for Israel. I mean, you know, they would reluctantly do it. And honestly, the Obama administration, as we said in those final days, was going to be very dangerous. And they were. I mean, they allowed those resolutions to move forward. Israel was standing alone at the UN under the Obama administration's final days.
We talked about, Harry, this shift that took place between the way it was and the way it is now. This was a major shift, and it happened in pretty record time when you think about it.
Yes, it happened very quickly, very expeditiously, and it proves one thing, that Nikki Haley will indeed be a tough act to follow. She was a leader in withdrawing U.S. funding from U.N. agencies that were indeed corrupt. We also withdrew, for instance, from the U.N. Human Rights Council on her watch. And so we must continue to push such agencies to either change their tune or alternatively collapse from a lack of funds.
Ambassador Danone, let me ask you this. When you think of the legacy of Nikki Haley as a U.S. ambassador and ambassador of the United Nations, what do you think was the most significant, or if you were going to go through a couple, what do you think the most significant achievements were?
Well, I think beside her approach, her sincere, direct approach, when you look at the sanctions against North Korea, with a great achievement.
Yeah, we're losing. We're having a little technical problem on getting Ambassador Danone in. But no, the UN, the North Korea was another one. We talk about the Middle East, but the North Korea was another one.
Yeah, I mean, that again, a very key that even the ambassador from Israel to the UN is talking about how the North Korea issues, yeah, that it wasn't just about Israel and obviously their interests, which he represents, but what the U.S. was doing on other issues as well. Very significant. So I think we played it before. Let's play it again, since we had trouble getting the ambassador live with us as he's moving around to respond. But he had this to say about Nikki Haley. He said this on the record. Take a listen.
First, when you look at the U.S. today, 2 years after, the standing of the U.S. is in a different place. People respect the U.S. today in the U.N. because Ambassador Haley was not afraid to stand firmly, even when it meant that she was in the minority. Even when we lost votes, she was not afraid. And I think today you got that respect for many countries in the Security Council, in the General Assembly. But, and that's important, because if you want to be relevant, you need people to respect you at the UN, in the international community. And today there is more respect to the President of the United States, to the administration, and it makes America stronger today.
So, Than, looking at, let's look ahead here, because you have to look ahead. I mean, you know, Ambassador Haley will stay for basically 10 more weeks. And then we're, and in that time period, we're going to have a new nominee. And I expect there's going to be a fight no matter who it is, because they're going to be supporting the president's position, and there's 48 senators that won't.
Yeah, the president's taken a very aggressive position in foreign policy. It was needed, Jay. I mean, we needed a dramatic shift in foreign policy, specifically at the United Nations. And look, that is going to generate a lot of opposition inside the United States Senate, and it will be a fight. I suspect it's a fight that President Trump and the new nominee will win, but I do think it'll be a fight. And, Jay, I think it was so important that Ambassador Danone mentioned North Korea, because he's the Israeli ambassador, and yet he sees that as one of the main agenda items. And I also loved the fact that he referenced that sometimes the new ambassador is going to have to be the only voice in the room.
Yep.
Jay, I would tell you a couple of things. First of all, sometimes that's absolutely literally. I mean, it takes a single veto on the Security Council. You've got to be willing to stand alone. And then sometimes, while it might not be the only voice, the new ambassador is going to have to be prepared when mass countries stand up and walk
and
out,
they
when
do.
They advance the proper agenda, they do. The next ambassador has to be willing to stand firm in that type of situation.
Well, she had a certain boldness, Harry, that I would say gravitas when we were with her and watching her in action. I mean, I've met her both on in a large setting at the UN General Assembly. We both made an address, but I've also been, you know, at the White House from time to time. I've seen her, and she just has a tremendous presence.
Absolutely. And so I would add, she also was a clear and direct speaker. You knew where the United States stood on a particular issue when Nikki Haley spoke. In other words, she did not hide our goals, our objectives, and our willingness to impose consequences, both on the UN, and secondly, the international community, and thirdly, on nations that oppose
yep.
American interest.
All right, so Don on Facebook asks if it's normal for U.S. ambassadors to only serve 2 years. Not unusual.
Yeah, I mean, they're all different. Some serve for longer periods of time. Others have served that period of time less and move on. I think here what is unique is that she announced she's going into the private sector, but I don't think this is the end for Nikki Haley in public life.
Patty on Periscope said she set up a standard for the next person. I think that's absolutely true. She was an extremely effective advocate for the administration's position. She was extremely effective both publicly and behind the scenes. And she was not afraid, as Ambassador Danone said, the ambassador from Israel to the UN, she wasn't afraid to be the only person in the room or in the minority position advocating for the United States and our allies. And that was a marked difference in the previous administration. Having said all that, there's going to be a new nominee. That nominee's probably going to come forward in the next week or two. And that confirmation process will go forward in Washington, D.C. We hope it goes forward in a way that is not quite as difficult, we'll say, Than, that what we saw happen just with Brett Kavanaugh. It's different. It's not a Supreme Court vacancy, but it could still be contentious.
Yeah, it's going to be contentious, Jay. Let's hope it's less shameful. I'll use the word shameful because, look, this new ambassador, Jay, it's going to be the voice of the United States in one of the most hostile arenas in the world, the United Nations. And, look, I would say 2 years ago when Ambassador Haley took this spot, the United States didn't have a lot of respect in that arena, and she leaves with the United States very well respected. The new ambassador will step into that place. I hope the new ambassador has the broad support of the United States Senate.
We have a email out on the Asiya Bibi case. As you know, her case was argued Monday in Pakistan. We were very pleased with the hearing. Still waiting for the decision. You can sign that petition for her at aclj.org. And then we've got an upcoming event hearing date set for Andrew Brunson. We may have some developments on that in the days ahead, so pray for him as well. And while you're praying, don't forget to pray for the people in the panhandle of Florida that are experiencing right now a Category 4 storm with winds of 150 miles an hour and gusts up to 175 miles an hour. Be in prayer for those and also the first responders there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.